This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
It's a clown show.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Gordon Damert.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, people of Earth, welcome tonight to ENN. And I, of course, merely Gordon Damer. But first off, let me be the first to say good evening to Michael Kay.
Zach Britton!
All right. And, of course, a good evening to the one and only Don LaGreca.
You can't wipe off ugly. I've tried many times.
That is true. Nothing truer will be said during this entire segment. But let me first say, I am honored to be steering the ship tonight. And I should tell you that ENN, sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. Don, how are we feeling today?
Oh, terrific. I'm so excited. You are perfect for ENN. You really are. And I'm so excited about your new venture, working with Larry Hardesty at 10 o'clock Monday through Friday. I'm assuming that's starting the 4th, correct?
It is.
All right, because you can react to games. That's a great spot to be in. Plus, you get a life back, right? Instead of having to be on the air at 5 o'clock in the morning, you get to react right in real time after these games are played.
If you're a sports person, you're a night person. You have to look. You get opportunities, you get jobs. You have to alter that for, you know, a paycheck. But no, of course, this is a huge step up for me, being able to actually be awake when the sun goes down. Like, usually it was like, oh, sun's going down, got to get in the house, got to get in some pajamas. But now it's a little bit better.
Works for farmers, but not people that work in sports.
And plus, I get to work with Larry every single night. And what's better than that?
Salt of the earth.
There you go. All right, let's get into it. First story, this one jumps right off the page. Just when you thought that Dwayne Haskins' in-game decisions left a little to be desired, the quarterback finds himself in hot water. The quarterback, of course, of the first-place Washington football team. He is in hot water after pictures surfaced of him online, where else would they surface, at a strip club after Washington's loss. It wasn't even a win on Sunday. No, it was a loss to Seattle on Sunday. And think about how quickly things change in the NFC East, right? A couple of weeks ago, we're talking about how the Giants are going to run the table. Think about Dwayne Haskins. You're a first-round pick. You get written off by sheer happenstance. You go from third-string afterthought to the quarterback of a team that has a very good chance to win the division. You get a chance to start. You don't play well, right? You throw a couple of picks. You played a little bit better as the game went along. Then you decide, all right, let's get to the strip club in the midst of a pandemic. Forget about masks. Forget about social distancing. This is his second violation. And keep in mind, his coach is a cancer survivor. So not exactly the best of decisions here by Dwayne Haskins.
No, I don't know what the league is going to do about it. I mean, what if he gets suspended? Who's their third string quarterback if Smith can't go?
I don't think that they I don't know who they have right now.
Yeah, so, yeah, wouldn't it be funny if – wouldn't be funny, it would make me sick. But if Dallas ends up being the team that wins this division when it's all said and done, and don't rule it out as a possibility, right? I don't know if the Giants are going to win another game. Dallas is home against Philadelphia, and then they close out against the Giants.
Yeah. And so the funny thing is, this entire time where we've been talking about the Giants and how, you know, this upswing, well, you know, they got the game against Dallas. They're going to win that one. Like, all of a sudden,
I don't know.
Like, we should be chalking up any direct, easy wins for the Giants.
And this should be said, too. We've talked about this a few times. If you remember, Gordon, how, like, the people were claiming the Giants were racist.
Yeah.
When the word came out that they weren't sure they wanted to make Dwayne Haskins the face of their franchise. Remember that? I was like, why?
Yep.
Why? Because he's African American? Like, no.
Why?
Because of this, okay? Because of some of the things that he does. And this is just one of them. There's been a bunch of things that he has done that tell you that he's probably not mature enough to be a quarterback of a team that's hoping to, you know, turn their franchise around. So I think we're beginning to know exactly what the Giants didn't see in Dwayne Haskins. We'll see if they got it right with Daniel Jones, but I think you can kind of understand why the Giants weren't really didn't have an appetite to make him the face of their franchise.
I was surprised when Ron Rivera took over and seemed so quickly to turn the page on Dwayne Haskins. I believe his quote was, "I've already seen enough."
Mm.
Or at least that was the insinuation, that he had already seen it. Oh, I'm thinking to myself, this is a guy he took, I think it was 13th overall or something, maybe 11th overall. And to already be saying, no, I'm going to pass up on him for the other people that you had. Look, there's more that goes into it than just what you see, especially for a quarterback who it's part of your job is to make good decisions. This is and his apology kind of reads like George Costanza from, that one. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? You know, so I would be wondering, even if he would, if Dwayne Haskins after this season, I guess it kind of depends on how the year winds up. But you have to wonder whether or not he would even get a backup. I mean, it would be very hard for him to get even a backup job for his star to plummet this quickly.
I never got it. I've never been a strip club guy. But, you know, during a pandemic, I just don't understand why you feel like that's the place you have to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the place.
I had to laugh, though. All the stories were, they all reference in some way that the Washington football team has seen the pictures. I'm thinking to myself, of course they've seen them. I've seen the pictures. I'm sitting in my bed in my pajamas. I've seen the pictures already. So I'm assuming, yes, the Washington, although what goes on sometimes with the Washington football team, I would assume that they have already seen the pictures as well. What a bad look.
And they
come on, dog.
They don't, I'm just looking at their depth chart, they don't have a third string. Obviously, they have an emergency quarterback, somebody. I don't know if he'll be suspended, but we'll see. But yeah. Just amazing. Whoever's in first place just doesn't want to keep it.
Well, speaking of bad decisions, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin says that he does plan to talk to Juju Smith-Schuster about this pregame ritual he now kind of has, right? It's been three times now. Dancing on the logo of the opponents.
Yeah.
It happened before the game against the Bengals last night. Bengals were very vocal after the game that that was something that got them fired up. Is this a failure of Mike Tomlin that he has not already talked to Juju Smith-Schuster?
Well, but does that tell you that maybe he just doesn't think it's a problem, but now that they've lost three in a row and you lose to Cincinnati and that's one of the bulletin board fodder reasons that they lost? But listen, I wouldn't call Tomlin a disciplinarian by any stretch. There's been times where, you know, just ask Antonio Brown and some of the things he got away with that I wonder if he really even has a problem with it.
Well, look, I mean, it does sound crazy that this could get, you know, the other team fired up or bulletin board material. But think about baseball pitchers and, they have the longest psycho memories of all. So to think that this is something, while it seems maybe a little silly, you're dancing on the logo, this and that, it's clearly motivating these teams in some ways. I'm not saying that this is the Steelers' biggest problem, number two, number three, and it is a little silly that Mike Tomlin has to go now talk to a player. Juju, could you maybe stop doing this before the game for the 13-year-olds on TikTok? You know,
okay.
I mean? Like it's a little, you know, I can't imagine, you know, coaches from back in our day or back in the day having to, you know, Tom Landry having to go to Danny White and saying, hey, Danny, would you not do this on TikTok before the game? Right. I don't
Boomer.
Know.
Boomer. Okay, Boomer.
You'd think exactly. After what happened with Terrell Owens,
right.
that would be a thing. That you'd. It's so weird, though, what bothers athletes, right? When you look at, I remember during the Stanley Cup final in 2004, and I was covering that, the John Tortorella had this whole thing where you weren't allowed to step on the logo. They right in the dressing room, they had the Tampa Bay Lightning logo. And they actually, they coned it off. So,
right.
Like, the room's big, but then right. Now this big, huge logo, nobody's allowed to touch it. Like, they actually had security.
It's standing. On the floor.
So, it's like, then why did you put it on the floor?
Right, exactly.
You want people to step on it, then don't make it part of the rug. Right?
Put but it on that, the wall. Put it that, on the ceiling.
That bothered people. And who was it? Was it Dallas Braden? It was upset that Alex Rodriguez like walked by him when he was pitching.
Yeah, he walked. I think he stepped on the mound or something like that on his way back to the dugout.
Yeah, it's funny that like the things that you kind of just draw the line on. That all right, I wasn't gonna play this game, but you danced on my logo. All right, that's it. That's it. We're playing
but
tonight.
Look, I mean, the reason why I think the motivation behind it is disrespect, right? You're like look at this. We're going to now do this to this team. We're going to dance. I mean, it is a clear now. It's a psycho that you know that would be the thing that gets you motivated. But I can see where, look, if you're going to do something that is disrespectful for the other team,
yeah,
then they are going to take it as a sign of disrespect and want to, you know, disrespect you in some way.
I don't think the Steelers are winning another game. I think the Cleveland Browns are winning this title in the division, and the Steelers are going to be one and done.
It certainly seems that way. They did not look good last night. And even when, you know, sometimes in games like that, you know, you get into halftime, I think it was 17-0 at the half. You know, you can get things turned around in the second half. Even when they did get things kind of pointed in the right direction, it still did not look good. So,
no.
Yeah, the Steelers have some issues. And Juju on TikTok is apparently – are you a TikTok guy, Don? I don't sense that you're a TikTok guy.
No, I draw the – right now, it's Twitter. I'm on Instagram, but I rarely ever do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's where I draw the line. No TikTok, no Snapchat.
TikTok, I will say this. TikTok is a phenomenal editing tool. Like, I have kids in that age range, so they're on TikTok, so I have to be lurking in the background on TikTok to make sure to see what they're doing, see what they're seeing. So I'm on it. I do enjoy it. There are very creative, funny people on it, and I'm not just going to be the typical boomer that just talks bad about it.
No, it's just not for me. I'm not disrespecting it. Obviously, it's got its place.
Right.
But
and the real problem that you find is that out of all the apps that you can go through, you could sit there if you get on it and you say I'm just going to look at a couple of things. You will sit there and it'll be a half hour later. I will say that.
There's a lot of things that make the time go by quick that I wish existed when I was a kid.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, all right, here's one of them that was around maybe when you were a kid. It's one of the most iconic horror movies of all time. And now a sequel for The Exorcist is in the works. 1973, for the people that are not old enough. David Gordon Green, who directed the most recent Halloweens, he is set to direct. So, Don, what was the horror movie that freaked you out when you were a kid?
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Okay.
But it was a movie called Burnt Offerings.
Sounds familiar.
It was, you know, it was right. We got HBO in 76. We were very lucky. We got cable very early in my childhood. So I was about 8 years old. So I stumbled upon this movie. And and you look at it now, it's not that big of a deal. But
absolutely.
there was like a limousine driver that was like spooky. It was just it was like a very scary ghost thing. Just like, it really freaked me out. And that to me, I'm trying to think of who was the guy that was in Tommy. He was also in Oliver. I think he passed away recently. He's in the movie. So this movie's like mid 70s. I'm going to punch it up on IMDb. But that's the movie that
I had two. I had The Omen.
Oh yeah,
and really not even the whole movie per se, because I rewatched it recently, and it's laugh. You know, it's kind of laughably bad some sections of it, but the one scene. Where the nanny gets up on the ledge and she's shouting out to Damien, it's all for you.
Oh,
my God. That freaked me out as a kid. It's kind of surprising the name Damien kind of had a comeback. I would have figured that would have been written on. Nobody was going to name their kid Damien for a very long time, but it's kind of made a comeback.
Yeah, that scene always.
Oh, that,
always
that, that freaks me
disturbing.
Out even now. I watched it by myself. I was getting a little bit of the heebie-jeebies. And the other one was End of Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
When they're all getting, you know, taken over by the pod people or whatnot. And the two characters that were together at the very, I mean, spoiler alert, but it's probably 1976 or something like that. You probably should have seen it by now. So the woman sees Donald Sutherland and they got separated at one point. And when you get turned into a pod person, if you find a regular, you know, human being, you point to them and you put out this scream.
Yes.
So she's
yes.
running up to Donald Sutherland and all of a sudden he turns around and points at her. Oh, I still see that one. It still kind of freaks me out.
Yeah.
Get the heebie-jeebies.
Burnt Offerings, Karen Black, and Oliver Reed.
Oliver Reed. Karen Black, I remember. Karen Black was like, she was always in those kind of, she had a, the same kind of role in a lot of those kind of movies, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Always those scary, scary movies.
So do you think The Exorcist, a remake of The Exorcist, do you think that would work nowadays?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm sure they could do a lot more with it. I thought for 73, it was pretty innovative in how they did it. So, yeah, I'll be very interested to see that.
Some of those scenes in 1973, that was not generally things that you saw previously. So
No.
Yeah. The ability to shock people now is going to be a little bit tougher to do. So I don't know if it's going to be successful. All right, we talked about some bad decisions before. Chicago White Sox manager Tony La Russa pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor charge of reckless driving yesterday, DUI arrest. Mm-hmm. He was sentenced to a day of home detention, a $1,300 fine, and 20 hours of community service. So between La Russa, the White Sox, and the law, who took that offense the least serious, do you think?
Whoever gave him
he got one day of home detention for his second offense.
Home detention during a pandemic.
Right. I've been home detained since March. I'm losing my mind.
Right. And you didn't do a thing.
Didn't do anything wrong. Well, at least not that the law knows about.
Yeah, exactly. That's unbelievable. Yeah, that I don't get. One day home detention.
I've always felt like home detention was like a reward, not a punishment. That is, till recently. Okay, Don, the Gamecocks are not going bowling. South Carolina was set to face UAB in something called the Gasparilla Bowl.
What?
Have you ever heard of the Gasparilla Bowl?
I've heard of sarsaparilla.
No, this is the Gasparilla Bowl.
I think that's what you get when you drink too much sarsaparilla.
Right, you get a little Gasparilla. Ooh,
yes.
Caught me in the chest there. Well, a number of schools have been asking players to vote on whether or not they want to participate in a bowl game this year. South Carolina did not ask their players, did not get a vote of their players. Mike Bobo, who is the interim head coach, his name is actually Mike Bobo.
Okay.
He says, quote, there's no vote in the SEC. So the players heard that, didn't like it, and the players, they didn't even have a vote. They just said, we're not playing in this game. So now South Carolina is not going to be taking part in the very anticipated Gasparilla Bowl.
Wow, there's a lot of things going on in college football I don't understand.
Do you know what the best part of the story is? You know what South Carolina's record is?
What was it,
now,
like
the fact they have an interim coach should tell you it's not very good.
Was it like 2-8 or something?
They're 2-8.
Yeah.
How bad do you have to be maybe there's a reason why we've not heard about the Gasparilla Bowl before.
So when a 2-8 team backs out of a bowl, I can just imagine the committee like, well, who are we going to get now? I mean, can we find anybody with more than two wins?
It shouldn't be that hard, right?
No,
another win on Sunday, the Jets are eligible.
Have everybody play in a bowl.
Could you imagine? You know what I thought about with the Jets? I didn't do any Jet stories today because I'm, at 7 o'clock, we'll kind of get into that. But could you imagine if they had beaten the Raiders as well? Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about a two wins, three wins. All of a sudden, you're talking about this season where everybody was like, oh, we're getting trouble. Now you're going to have like the fourth pick in the draft. Thank God that they blew that game against the Raiders.
Because I was talking to Keyshawn, or I was talking to somebody earlier about, like, if they had a competent coach, they probably beat Denver. They
yes.
would have beaten New England the first time. They beat the Raiders. You're talking about a team that maybe, could finish at 5-11.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, and there is a – I mean, you'd have to think that after the season that they will have a new head coach. There has been, with individual players, Ryan Tannehill, the greatest example of it, a post-Gase bounce for a lot of players. You would think – I don't know who the next coach is going to be – but you would think if he's even, just like league average, there's going to be a post-Gase bounce to the Jets next year where I'm not saying they're going to go from, one win to, in 96 when the Jets won the one game, I think there was a general sense that, this is a more talented team than that.
Oh, sure.
I don't know that this Jets team is that much, but look, they should have probably won three or four games.
It's crazy. But, still, you're talking about a team that had they lost to the Rams like they were supposed to in Cleveland, that they would have, with the point differential, been the worst team in the history of a 16-game schedule.
Yeah.
And probably the worst team in the history of football outside of expansion. because I think the Buccaneers in 14 games were at minus 220. The Jets would have surpassed that.
But in some ways, you would have to say that, like, outside of the Lions team in 08, you know, the Buccaneers were an expansion team, right? Like, we all kind of, we you know, knew that they had nowhere to go but up, right? They were in the scraps of this team and that team. You know, the Colts team in the shortened season, you know, they didn't play a full 16 games, all right? So the Browns team that went winless, I don't know if they were really even trying to win. It certainly didn't seem
like
that.
Well, they weren't trying to win, but
the tanking conversation came from.
I remember looking it up. I think the 2017 Browns played like six games where they lost by 10 or less points. Like, so even in an 0-16 season, there were still more than a handful of games that a bounce here, a bounce there, they could have won the game. There were times where the Jets were like just completely non-competitive.
Yeah.
You know, so did you see this? You're a Dolphin fan, full disclosure. So you saw Gase close up and personal for 3 years. Did you see it going this bad?
No, I did not. I did say that when he got the job, you know, he does, he has his favorites, and it's very easy to get thrown off that favorites list. So that was one thing that concerned me. And I also noticed, you know, his first year, he did not have, you know, real full control. And then after winning 10 games, the first year, the reason why they won the 10 games was Jay Ajayi basically came out of nowhere and started running for 200 yards every single week. And then by the next year, he had fallen out of love with Jay Ajayi. So he was kind of cast aside. After that first year, he brought in a lot of his guys and he had more control and things kept getting worse and worse and worse. But no, I don't think anyone, even the most negative Jet fan, could have thought it would have been this bad.
No, he's, you know, Kotite's probably worse just because Kotite had given up during that season and was like smoking cigars with buddies in the parking lot during practice. I think Gase is showing up at least, but no, this is
as
bad
as it's been. Yeah, and he's showing up all right.
Hey, well, he shows up, he's here.
Yeah, he makes his presence known. He does that by standing on the sidelines. That is going to do it for ENN for this Tuesday evening. ENN sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series. Starting December 27th, powered by Party Poker US Network, go to borgatapoker.com for terms and conditions.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.